Number 36, from November of 2007, Eternal Truths. Some of you may have noticed that we are doing something a little bit different when we celebrate Holy Communion. In each communion tray, we now have two individual cups with white grape juice in them. This is partly done so that they can be easily distinguishable from the dark red wine, and because questions have been asked about why we are doing this. The answer is quite simply out of pastoral concern for those worshipers who either cannot tolerate alcoholic beverages or who have difficulty swallowing the wine. Many Lutheran congregations do this, but we had not been doing it here regularly, and now we will. Obviously, there are many other denominations from the Reformed tradition that never use wine at all in communion and have always used grape juice. This practice grew out of concern for all of the alcohol problems seen on the frontier and was part of the temperance movement. Lutherans have a long history of trying to stick to just what the Bible says, no more, no less. The Greek word used to describe what Jesus used to institute the Lord's Supper is oinos, and that translates to wine. That's why we use wine. If it had said grape juice, we'd use grape juice. Having said this, it is also important to look at the historical context within which an event occurred. In other words, it is the task of theology to determine which things in the scriptures are the eternal truths and which things are the culturally conditioned practices of that time. It is clear that not every specific thing from a Middle Eastern culture from thousands of years ago means exactly the same thing as in a Western culture in America in 2007. An example of this from my own family is that my mother insisted that my sister wear hats to church because she read in the Bible that women should cover their heads, not cut their hair really short, and avoid a lot of jewelry. My sister rebelled against this because she was already a six-footer in ninth grade, and wearing a broad-brimmed Loretta Young hat made her look like a giant toadstool. If my mother had only known the cultural setting of this writing, we could have saved many a struggle on Sunday mornings. The explanation for Paul's words is that there were many temple prostitutes of pagan temples in the city of Corinth. You could tell who they were because they all bobbed their hair, wore it uncovered, and wore a lot of jewelry. In other words, Paul was not concerned about hair and hats as such, but about the newly formed Christian church giving a good witness to others. He didn't want the Christian women to be taken to be pagan temple prostitutes. The eternal truth in this is that Christians always need to give a good witness, not that hats are sacred. Likewise, the issue of using wine versus grape juice needs to be looked at in its historical setting. Israelites made bread every day, and most drank wine every day. These were common elements that Jesus used when he baptized the celebration of the Passover on Maundy Thursday and instituted the Lord's Supper. He used the earthly elements at hand to represent himself and how he gave himself for us. The Israelites used wine because they had a lot of vineyards and had to do something to preserve the fruit of those vines. Remember, they didn't have refrigeration, so the only way they could store the juice from those grapes was to ferment it and make it wine. Wine can be stored at room temperature indefinitely. If they could have stored grape juice, Jesus might have used grape juice, but they couldn't. He used what was at hand and turned it into something special, a means of grace. The Israelites also have very good tolerance for alcohol, and still do to this day, so there was no real worry about alcoholism in that culture. Other races and ethnic groups do not have a good tolerance for alcohol, particularly Native Americans, Scandinavians, and Irish, so it is important to look at this issue in the light of that difference. Our limited use of grape juice, then, is out of pastoral concern. I believe the eternal truth is that Jesus wants us to participate in his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, but never be endangered by the sacrament.